So did you know that Jesus prayed for you and me? What did he pray? I pray that they would be one. When we love, it will lead to unity. I am 100% confident it is at the heart and the will of God that his church be unified. Welcome to the Power of One. Today I want to share a message with you called Get Your Mind Right. Think about Romans 12:2 that says we'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Right? We love ourselves as we are. We accept ourselves as we are, but we want to get better. How do I get better? Well, I get better by thinking better, then doing better, and eventually I become better. So today, we're going to take step number one. We're going to get our minds right. Let's jump in together. Today, I want to talk specifically to those of you that know you need to come out of something. Or maybe you're coming out of something. I want to talk about how do we come out of something we need to come out of? That's a mentality issue. Even if you physically need to get out, whether it's get out of a work situation, get out of a relationship, maybe it's getting out of debt, in some way, getting out of your current circumstances, you need to go to a new place. How do we do that with the right mindset? I want to take you to the book of Judges chapter 6. And we're going to look primarily in Judges 6, but we're going to skip around just a bit. And here we go, Judges 6, 1 and 2. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, so the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. Verse 2 says, the Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites were made hiding places for themselves in mountains, caves, and strongholds. The Midianites weren't just taking them over militarily in terms of an acquisition. This wasn't a business acquisition. This was actually a barbaric group of people. Just a few of the details that you see early on in Judges 6. The Midianites were trying to starve them. They were trying to starve the Israelites. They would come in and ruin their crops. They stole their livestock. They would take their crops, not even just to take them and eat them for themselves because they were hungry. They would do it just to ruin them, just to spite them. So it was insult to injury. It was very personal. And they had 7 years of this type of barbaric sort of affliction that they were dealing with. It says in verse 6, Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. And so they cried out to the Lord for help. I think it's worth really thinking about that for a moment, that concept of being reduced to starvation. I want to take this literal 7 years at the hands of the Midianites, the seven-year affliction, and I want to use that, although it was real for the nation, I want you and I to use it as a metaphor for an extended period of adversity, the thing that you need to come out of, the thing you're trying to move past. For some of you, it may be the lingering effects of a broken relationship. For some of you, it may have been a loss that has haunted you, something that didn't work out. Maybe you shot your shot at a business endeavor. You tried to start something. Maybe you borrowed from friends and family, or in some way you know people believed in you. You believed in yourself. You went for it. Hey, it's now or never, and it didn't work out. So this thing has caused you to be stuck in some way for 7 years. The 7 year Midianite oppression and adversity puts you in a certain headspace. And we see that Gideon, who now shows up in the story, it says that in verse 11, it says, Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide grain from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Gideon kind of represents a nation in that this is a guy who had been reduced from any sort of dreams or visions of victory or ambition, reduced to smuggling grain in a wine press. When you have 7 years of adversity, when you have an extended period where you're taking L's, you're taking losses, feels like things are going from bad to worse, and it feels like your vision has now been reduced from, hey, world domination, or I'm going to be really successful, or I'm going to solve this big problem, or whatever the vision was before, your vision's been reduced to survival. I got to make it through today. It's not, we're going to do something great. I'm going to make my life really count. You're not trying to get in the Hall of Fame. You're going, what am I going to eat this week? And so when that happens, oftentimes it can become its own mentality reducer. Like, it's so reductive. You end up in that place. It's hard. It feels delusional or insane to think of anything great, anything big, because you're going, who am I I sound like an idiot thinking big when I'm smuggling grain in a wine press, hiding out. The nation was in a position that seemed like there was no way out. The numbers game was so far against them, it was ridiculous. We find out later the Midianites had 135,000 fighting warriors to Israelites 32,000. So they're 1 and 4.5. It's terrible numbers. There was no way out. And so here you have Gideon, who is in this place where his mentality has been reduced to survival. If you have common ground with what I just said, God sent me to you today. I want to encourage you today. I know it might feel delusional. I know it might feel disorienting. But even when you're in a wine press in the middle of a 7-year adverse situation, in some way in that moment, you have to be able to maintain hope and allow the Lord to lead you into a vision of someplace other than where you are right now. It's not you denying reality. It's not you sticking your head in the sand, but in some way you have to find a buoyancy of hope to go, this is my truth now. This is the facts of my life now. This is where I am now. As of right now, today, I have to smuggle grain to eat. But this is not where I'm gonna stay. The angel of the Lord appears to him, and don't miss any of the details here because this is all really good. He says, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. This had to feel to Gideon like sarcasm. Mighty, what are you talking about? Mighty hero, in case you didn't notice, I'm hiding. I'm afraid. I'm outnumbered. I'm weak. I'm feeble. I'm anemic. Mighty hero, what are you talking about? But what the angel of the Lord was doing was beginning. He was inviting him in a new path of thinking. I just want to sit here for a minute, just if you would just indulge me to sit here for a minute, because I want to make sure we don't stay shallow in this message. When you're in a 7-year adverse situation with barbaric Midianites, you're not just bailed out with one mighty hero. You see what I'm saying? It's not just the angel comes in and goes, mighty hero, the Lord's with you. And Gideon goes, oh, that's true. I am a mighty hero. Like, you don't just flip it that quickly. But what the angel is doing is inviting him to begin believing it. It wasn't the solution to the problem. It was the beginning of a solution. But the first action step that I want to give you around getting your mind right, if you're going to come out, is you have to be willing to think differently. You have to be willing to think differently. The angel shows up and says, mighty hero. And although you don't feel like a mighty hero, and you might not even believe right now that you're a mighty hero, the angel has introduced you to a path that will lead you to doing courageous things, that will lead you to a new place. It's an invitation to come out of the wine press. Come out. Come out. Come out of this wine. Come, stop smuggling this grain. You don't want to, you're going to die here smuggling grain. You're going to run out. You cannot stay here. You got to come out. It's an invitation to go, let's start thinking this way. You have to make a decision that you are willing to begin thinking differently. It's not going to happen with one pep talk. It's not going to happen with one compliment. It's not going to happen with a little victory. It's going to happen when you start down that path. Mighty hero, he says, the Lord is with you. Adversity has a way of creating like one or the other of an outcome in your life. Like adversity has the potential to either produce humility or timidity. It's up to you. Adversity can produce either humility or timidity. Let me make a distinction for the sake of this conversation. Humility, we talked about it earlier. Humility is a great thing. Humility is a wonderful character trait to have because it gives you good self-awareness. It gives you an appreciation for the people around you. It's attractive. I mean, man, when you're around somebody who's humble, like truly humble, that is an attractive quality. It's a great thing. So when you're going through adversity, your 7 years with the Midianites, instead of cursing the adversity, instead of being mad that you're in the situation to begin with, instead of getting mad at the Midianites and mad at the Israelites and mad at yourself and mad at God, look at the situation, the adversity, and go, I'm going to bring every drop out of this adversity that I can. And maybe the greatest thing I come away with is the character quality of humility. But at its worst, what it can often do is create timidity. Timidity. I'll define that as timidity is the thing that causes you to shrink up. When I'm talking about timidity, I'm not talking about a personality trait of someone who's maybe quiet by nature or a little more reserved or a little shy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about timidity like I've lost my self-esteem. I'm not going to take another risk again. Hey, that last situation hurt so bad, I'm not going to ante up again because if I do, it might hurt again. I'm talking about something that reduces you, sucks the faith out of you, sucks the courage out of you, and causes you to play it safe or to be defensive or to put up walls or to cocoon yourself and to live the rest of your life in fear. This is why the Apostle Paul says to his son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Power, love, and a sound mind. So notice, courage and humility are not mutually exclusive. You can be a humble person and a courageous person. And so what was happening here to Gideon is because of the 7 years, and I'm not here to judge, because I think 7 years at the hands of a barbaric Midianite regime would cause anyone to question themselves. It would create an insecurity. But what was happening is he was becoming timid. He was hiding out. And so the angel comes to him and says, mighty hero. He starts to hack away at his belief to say, you have to understand, like, you are not meant to spend the rest of your life playing defense just because you had a loss. Just because something didn't work out doesn't mean you're supposed to be alone the rest of your life. Just because somebody wounded you and hurt you doesn't mean that all people are bad. And so I'm going to keep everybody in arm's length. I'm never going to let anybody in again. Just because the thing didn't work out in your career doesn't mean your career is doomed. Doesn't mean that there's no more room for you to take another risk or to step out boldly. It's not timidity. It's humility. Humility. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, it says, we're pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. I love that language. This is talking about adversity. Talking about adversity. Adversity, he's saying, hey, adversity can press you and not crush you. It's okay to be pressed. So some of us, oftentimes when we are in adversity, we get so hung up and fixated on the nature of the adversity and how uncomfortable it is that we miss the opportunity for it to produce something that it's meant to produce. He says, hey, it's okay to be pressed, but we're pressed, not crushed. We're perplexed, we don't have the answers, but we're not in despair. We're hunted down, but we're not abandoned by God. He said, we get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. This is why the angel shows up with him and addresses him in a disorienting fashion. Mighty hero, mighty warrior, the Lord is with you. Now watch this back and forth between the Lord and Gideon. Says, sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Fair question. And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Fair question. And didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? Rhetorical question, but fair. Now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Facts. Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have. Sometimes you ask God questions, even good questions, he doesn't always answer them. And oftentimes people stay stuck in the wine press because I'm not leaving till I get my answers. I'm not doing anything till I get my answers. These are good questions, these are fair questions. But you can't wait on answers. Sometimes you got to go without answers. He asks questions, and notice the Lord doesn't go, hey, good questions, here's an answer to one and two or three. He just says, go with the strength you have. Sometimes you have to move in a direction before you have all your questions answered, your wounds healed, and your energy restored. That's a fact. Sometimes you have to move in a direction before you've had all your wounds healed and your questions answered and your energy restored. Notice what he says to him. He says, go with the strength that you have. That's our second action step, is go with the strength you have. Gideon is so focused on the strength he doesn't have that he's telling him, go with the strength that you do have. Now think about the fact that the angel of the Lord doesn't come and give him an energy pill. He didn't give him more energy. Friend, this is just a hard truth. I mean, I can preach Disney to you, or we can talk about real life. And real life is this. Sometimes you don't get to go with the strength you wish you had. You don't get to go with all the strength you want. Sometimes you just have to go with the strength you have. He says, take what you have. And this is, again, this is getting your mind right. People say, I can't. Yeah, you can. You don't want to. You don't feel like it. Have you ever been exercising and your mind's not in it? Your mind ain't in it. You're like, I ain't feeling this today. That's about to be a bad workout. You're about to not get much out of it. You might as well just go home. But if you flip the switch, if you decide, I'm about to dig in on this. And by the way, I'm just talking about a superficial 30-minute, 1-hour workout. Let's flip and talk. I mean, people in their relationships, in their marriages, in their careers, and leading themselves, I can't. I don't have it in me anymore. Yeah, you can. Go with the strength you have. Sometimes you have to just go with the strength you have. You don't have what you want, but you have something. And what the angel of the Lord is essentially telling Gideon here is you have more than you think you have. Gideon thought he didn't have any strength. And that's how it feels 7 years at the hands of the Midianites. That's how it feels when you're that beat down. Notice the conversation that Gideon has with the angel of the Lord. Look what he says here. He says in verse 15, Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. We'll get back to that in a second. But look at this, verse 16. Watch this. The Lord said to him, I will be with you and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. What is that but a simplification? You have Gideon who's overwhelmed because he's doing the math. He's counting the gears. There are 135,000 fighting men. We're 32,000. The numbers don't work. It's been 7 years. If we were gonna get ourselves out of it, we would have by now. I don't have any energy. I'm smuggling grain in a wine press waiting to die. And what does the Lord do for him in this moment but take the 135,000 in the 7 years and all the complexity and says, you're gonna beat him like it's one guy. Simple. Hey, there are certain cliches in the world that you should go ahead and listen to because they're cliches for a reason. Because they're true. I'll give you one. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's good. That's true. If I look at the elephant, there's no way I can. One bite at a time, one bite at a time, one bite at a time. Gideon and the nation of Israel become so discouraged because it felt like eating an elephant. It felt like trying to boil the ocean. It felt like something so big and impossible that there's no way it was going to work. And what does the Lord do but give him a simplification? Bring now, it's like it's one. Quit looking at 135,000. It's like it's one guy. Bring it down to simplicity. So the third action step I give you today is simplify and act. Simplify and take action. Simplify and act. Just bring it down like it's one guy and be obedient to the next thing. Look, I don't know what your 7 years with the Midianites look like. I don't know what the wine press feels like to you to smuggle grain. I don't know what's happened to your ego. I don't know what's happened to your identity. I don't know what's happened to your mind and your self-esteem. Maybe you feel like you've got nothing left. I have no dignity left. Look at me. I'm smuggling grain in a wine press. I'm breaking down crying in a board meeting. I can't even get myself out of bed. I don't feel like I'm doing anything well. I'm spinning plates and they're all breaking right now. Like maybe you're in that place. And when you're there, instead of staying there and dying in that spot, allow God to start to give you a new vision. Be willing to start thinking differently. Go with the strength you have. Amen. And simplify and take action. I'll give you this last thing. This is just a little nugget in the scripture that I think is just encouraged me to my core. Let's go back to what we just read, Judges 6:15. And the Lord says, hey, I'm going to use you to deliver the nation. That had to feel so disorienting to Gideon, because he's like, how am I going to deliver the nation? I can't even deliver myself. How am I going to put the nation on my back? I can't even carry my own weight. And so his pushback was, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. And then look what he says next. And I'm the least in my entire family. This message is called Get Your Mind Right. And Gideon's mindset, what he saw of himself in his mind's eye, is clarified in this verse. I'm from a weak clan, and I'm the weakest in the clan. I'm the bottom of the barrel. I have no value. Two chapters later, if you read ahead, you'll see God gives these guys an incredible plan. They go through, Gideon turns into, you know, Leonidas from the 300. You know, he's like, and so they fight through, man, and it's all heroic, and he becomes the mighty hero and the mighty warrior. And without breaking the whole thing down, basically in verse 18, he gets to a place where he's trying to find some of his family, and it says Gideon asked, and the men you killed, but I can't pronounce the name, so I just thought I'd go all in. The men you killed at Tabor, he says, he asked those two guys, the Z guys. He says, the men. See, I could have faked it for you, but I didn't want to be a faker. All right, I'm just being honest. This is 2022. Okay, he said, look at this. Don't miss this. He said, the men you killed at Tabor, what were they like? Look what they say. Like you, they replied. They all had the look of a king's son. Wow. Two strangers who had never seen him before, he said, hey, what did those guys look like? They said, those guys look like you, the son of a king. Two chapters earlier, how does he see himself? He says it in verse 15. I'm the least. I'm the weakest. I'm the smallest. I'm from the weakest clan, and I'm the weakest of the clan. And two chapters later, by the way, his personal appearance didn't change in two chapters. This is a couple days later. But someone who didn't even know him looked at him and said, you look like a prince, dude. You remind me of a prince. You remind me of a princess. You look like the daughter of a king. You look like the son of a king. I'm talking about the importance of getting your mind right. Because oftentimes, what our truth is and what our mindset is and what we feel about ourselves and what we believe about ourselves isn't even true. But it's what's keeping you in the wine press, because you think you're in the smallest and you're the least of the least. And some stranger looks at you and thinks you look like the son of a king. You got to get your mind right. As to who God has made you, the one who's created you, the potential that you still have. Don't let your 7 years of adversity and the feeling of having your dignity stripped away and the fact that you're smuggling grain in a wine press become a stumbling block and something that keeps you stuck in a place where you're not moving forward. Come out of that thing. Come out of it. Come out of it. Come out of it. Come out of it. How? You got to start thinking different. You got to be willing to start thinking different. Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. You don't feel like a mighty hero, doesn't matter. Start going down that path, mighty hero. Start doing mighty hero stuff. Come out of the wine press. Take the step. How do I do that? Go with the strength you have. I don't have the strength I want. I'm not strong as her. I'm not as strong as him. I'm not. Go with the strength you have. You have more in you than you think you do. Fix your mind on it. Make a decision. Do it. You can do it. I can't get out of bed. Yeah, you can. I can't move forward. Yeah, I can't. No, I can't risk getting hurt again. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. You can do more than you think you can. You can do more than you think you can. Come out of the wine press. Go with the strength you have. Don't wait on God to give you a big surge of adrenaline. Go with the strength you have. I don't have much. That's fine. It's going to be enough. Start moving forward. God will bring alliances your way. God will give you plans, but he ain't going to give it to you in the wine press. You got to get out of it. Take a step. Walk out. Simplify and act. Simplify and act. Simplify and act. Don't think 135,000. One. It's one man. You're going to beat him like he's one man. Like he's one man. Find it in yourself to begin moving forward. And when you take that step of faith, watch what God does. God says to Gideon, I want to display my power in this situation where the numbers don't work. Because if the numbers worked, it would contribute to your pride that would take you from your prosperity into turning from me. He said, I want to work in a situation where the numbers don't work so that I get the glory. Not me, Greg Ford, God. Okay, I just want to make sure that doesn't end up on the internet. That's how you end up a pastor meme. I get the glory. It's like, see another one of these narcissists. Okay, anyway. The Lord God, that he gets the glory. God shows up in things where the numbers don't always make sense, where the odds are long, so that you walk out of that thing and you go, I was not able to do that. I didn't do that. If it was up to me, I'd have died in the wine press. I like hanging out with people with that kind of story. I like being around people who go, if it was up to me, I'd have died in the wine press. But God showed up. Don't think you're passive in this journey, though. You have a role to play, too. You have a decision. What are you going to do with your adversity? What are you going to do with it? Is it going to create humility or is it going to create timidity? God's not giving you a spirit of timidity. Power, love, sound mind, self-discipline. Take the action.
Simplify and act. You know, you are not a bystander in your story. Don't take a passive approach to your life. Go to God, ask him to make it clear to you what you're supposed to do, and then have the courage to step out and do it with the faith you have and trust God with the result. Thank you so much for taking a moment to look at God's word with me. Let's keep growing together. See you next time.